If you're willing to leave the details with him, if you're willing to take all your concerns to him. Well, let me give you a good verse to memorize for that. Turn with me to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Many of you probably memorized this verse. It's one thing to memorize it. The other thing is to apply it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Good verse to memorize. A good verse to rest in. A good verse to prove God's, God can prove his leadership qualities to you and is present with you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Look what the word of God says in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall make your path straight. And then look what he says this and look at verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Now, let me tell you what an evil thing is. The most evil thing that you can commit is to not to trust God. You say, how is that evil, Wallace? Because to not to trust God and what he says is to say, God, you don't keep your word. I don't believe you can keep your word. I don't really know if I can really trust you. That's an indictment on God's character. Unbelief is the most hideous sin of all. Because every other sin comes from that. That's why the Bible says, without faith, it's in what? Impossible to please God. They that come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that what? Diligently seek him. And let me say this. Don't let anybody make you think that unbelief, well, you know, it's hard for me to believe God in this matter. No, it ain't hard for you to believe God. It's just that you believe you're better than God and you can handle things better than God. It's hard for me to give this to God. I just got to keep it. Why? Because I don't think God can work it out the way I can work it out. I mean, that's what we're saying. In the heart of heart, the enemy of our soul want us to doubt God's character. He's not good, he's not faithful, and he don't understand your particular circumstance. Now, obviously, he doesn't say it like that to us, but that's what he's saying. And to not to trust what he says is to indict his character. Don't look at unbelief as a light thing. It's the most hideous of all sins because everything flows from that. And so, therefore, Proverbs say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, you know, and I'm sure you've heard this, the heart's three things, the intellect, the emotion, and the will. If I can use a football illustration, those are the only illustration I have, y'all. I'm sorry, that's girls, y'all have to talk to the guys after. But in football, they give a play in the huddle, and then you run to the line of scrimmage. And at the line of scrimmage, they usually give you a snap count. And at the line of scrimmage, you know the play, and you know the snap count. And so the defense doesn't know the play, so I have to remember the play and then listen to the snap count. And then on the snap count, I run the pattern. But there was a guy named Mel Blunt. I'm going to tell y'all inside secret. Don't let anybody know about my secret now. Mel Blunt was all pro. He was all pro cornerback. And bump and run during my days where the guys would come up and bump. And I was a wide receiver. And when I run out and we played against Pittsburgh Steelers, they were the steel curtains. But when I'm playing against Mel Blunt, I knew the play. I knew the snap count. But I was nervous. I don't want to play against Mel Blunt. So what happened? I can know the play, know the snap count, but when the quarterback say hut one, hut two, I don't move. I haven't played with my whole heart. Why? I knew, I listened, but emotionally I didn't leave. I was paralyzed by fear. No, that didn't happen. But you know, because they would have benched me. But that's what I wanted to happen. Anyway, but my point was, Mel Blunt or nobody, I have to run the play. I know what the snap count is. I know what the play is. And fear cannot keep me from doing my job. Why? Because fear, knowing it, believing it, but not doing it emotionally, is half-hearted. And so you can't just know what God said. You can't just believe that God said it. You must do it whether you feel like it or not, and you'll feel better after. I felt better after I caught a touchdown and he didn't tackle me. But don't live in your feelings. Why? Because they may not show up until, they may not get excited until after everything is over. And then they still might be fearful because I might have to run the play again. He's going to be madder next time. What am I saying to you? Don't live in your emotions, but don't live without emotion. Now, what am I saying? You can't serve God without your emotion. I mean that God wants your whole heart, intellect, your emotion, and your will. Everything comes. Everything. And so the heart is, my mind have to know it. My will must be strengthened to do it. And my emotion need to come along. And sometimes you have to drag emotion. Emotion, while thou cast down, O my soul, hope thou in God, just grab emotion by the head sometime and say, come on. You'll get happy when you finish, but you're coming with me. Don't live in your emotion. Why? Because emotions are a powerful thing, and you have to control them. And how do you control your emotion? You know what's said, and you're willing to do it, and then emotion will come with you. The Christian live intelligently and willfully in the truth. There's going to be some things that God's going to allow, have you to do, and you're going to have to cry and do them. Very painful things. There are going to be times in your life that you're going to have to do something that's very painful. And you'll do it with tears, but you'll do it nevertheless. And he'll give you strength to do it. One of the most difficult things I had to do as a preacher, my mother, who's a godly lady, I had the privilege to preach at her funeral. Mom, and I came from a small family of 14. 11 boys and 3 girls. That it's in the gumbo. You got to go to Louisiana and eat gumbo. You want 14 kids. And I'm just joking. But it was 11 boys. But my mom was a godly lady, and I had the privilege to preach a homegoing service. Very difficult time for the whole family. She was a very pillar in the family. Very difficult time. But God gave grace, and I was able to preach. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Well, how could you do that, Wallace? Because this woman lived to go to glory. She lived to go be with Jesus, and that's where she was going, to get her reward. So what am I going to do? Well, with tears in your heart and joy in your heart, in the midst of sorrow, there's joy, and you preach the word of God. Why? And God give you grace to do it. Let me say this. There'll be difficult things, hard things, easy things. Sometimes you might have to love some unlovable people. God may give you a friend who's a Judas. I hope not. May stab you in the back. What are you going to do? Well, go to Jesus. Why? Because he knew how to be stabbed in the back. He'd been stabbed in the back by Judas. You may get some friends. Jesus had Peter who said, Lord, everybody stay with you, and they'll leave, but I won't leave you. Well, Peter left, and Jesus knew it. All I'm saying, there are going to be some circumstances in our lives. You have to remember this, the rest of faith, that God said, I'll never leave you or what? Or forsake you. It's not that you don't trust people, but you've got a brother who was a person who will stick closer to you than a brother. The Lord Jesus said, I'll never leave you or what? Or forsake you. Now, that's his promise. David said it like this. If you read Psalm 27, David said, if my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. That's what David did. If my father and my mother should forsake me. Now, he's going down to the, and that's very unusual. and probably would never happen to any of you guys or girls. But David said, if my father and my mother should forsake me, the God will take me up. The Lord will take me up. Why? Because God has sealed his promise with blood. I'll never leave you or forsake you. It's the rest of faith. And then David says, let's turn back to Psalms 23. The rest of faith. He lead me beside the still waters. He lead me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. Let me say this. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that can refresh your soul in every circumstance. Not only did he restore our souls in salvation, you and I, if you're not a Christian, before you can rest in faith, God has to restore your soul from darkness to the marvelous light. He takes people from who are dead in sin and he makes them alive unto God. He brings you out of darkness into his light. A person who is not saved lives in darkness. They live for now and since. They either live by philosophy, they live by their passion, but they're living in darkness. They're in a world that they didn't create, and so they're living by the philosophy of man or the principles of man or the patterns of other men and women. But the Christian lived by, in the presence of God, by the principles of his word. The psalmist says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to that word. See, the Christian live by the word of God. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He doesn't live by philosophy. He doesn't live by passion. He lives by a principle. And the principle is what God's word says, I do it. If you play football, you know, football is being played on TV right now, the World Cup. Football. Not football. Anyway. But if you take the American football rules and try to play soccer with it, doesn't work. We go out there and tackle all the players. We can run over to European. They would say, get these. Why? It just doesn't work. And let them come down here and think about kicking the football around. We'd be knocking them all off the court. Why? That is not football. Why? So you have to realize God's word is the only thing that's going to work for you and be the best thing for you. So you can apply the worldly principle. You can try what your friends try. And it looks like it's working until the judge of all the earth shows up. And so you and I have to realize that this book will be the playbook by which I'm going to govern my life. I'm going to find out what God says and I'm trust him for wisdom to apply his word in the typical, in the particular circumstance of my life. How can a young man cleanse his way, it says in Psalm 119, by taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from your commandment, the psalmist says. And so God's word. Paul told Timothy, this book of the law should not depart out of your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night, that you must observe to do according to all that's written therein. Then you'll make your way prosper, then you have good success. I'm sorry, that's Joshua 1:8. Not Paul, but Joshua 1:8. Let's turn to that verse. I think it's a good verse for you. It's a good verse that a young leader, God was telling this to a young leader. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. A good verse for young leaders like yourselves and old leaders like myself. But Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law should not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. In the King James Version, it says good success. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, Joshua just taken over from Moses, and God is giving Joshua a promise. Listen, this book of the law should not depart of your mouth. You should meditate on it. You must observe to do according to all that's written therein, and then you'll make your way prosper, and you have good success. Now, I'm commanding you to be strong and courageous. Why do you and I have to be strong and courageous? Because there's an enemy out there to stop you from scoring. Why do you think a person who plays sports, if you're playing football, American football, why do you have to be strong and courageous? Why? Because there are people that's trying to tackle you to keep you from getting to the goal. And you just throw the ball away, and they'll leave you alone. You'll find out you're not that important. Why? They just want the ball. They don't want you to have false progress. The enemy of our soul just want us to throw God's word away. Fine. Because he just don't want you to obey it. You're a dangerous person if you obey God's word. You're dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. You are a person living under the power of God, and the enemy has to flee. Why? Because you're under authority with the word of authority. That's why James says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. You submit yourself to God, and you can resist the devil. Why? And he'll flee. Why? Because you're under authority and you have the word of authority and he can't stand. So if you're willing to bring yourself under the authority of God's word and stand on God's word, he can't stand there. And he can't stand against you. Why? Because you're under the authority of the omnipotent God. And you have his omnipotent promise and you're standing by faith to prove that God's word is true. And every place the sole of your feet tread, he's given it to you. You can take the ground by faith in obedience to what God says. That's why we know his word. You live by his word. Now, I'm not saying name it and claim it. Those people out there are stupid and stupid. So we ain't naming and claiming anything. We're just living in faith what God says. We're not naming and claiming anything. We're just standing on what God says in the particular circumstance with the wisdom from God. So and you and I are not matched for the devil. Don't go leave from here and say, well, I'm going to look for the devil. No, don't look for him. He'll find you. Don't look for him. You don't go look for the enemy. You walk with the shepherd. And he will lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. We don't look for a fight. When I played football, I didn't want to be tackled. I just wanted to score a touchdown. I'd give him the ball. But tackling was a part of the game for the enemy, so they tried to tackle me. And so, but my point was, I wasn't looking to be tackled. Matter of fact, I like not getting muddy. I didn't even want to fall. But they knock you down. That was their job. And I'd get up and run again. But my point was, I was not looking to be hit. Offense players don't like to be hit. They just like to score and get our names in the paper. Want the linemen to do the hard work. The linemen do the hard work. The quarterback, the running back, the receivers get their name in the paper. They do the work. We get the fame. Isn't that good? Sorry, you linemen that's in here. But my point, here's my point. You and I don't have to worry about but one thing. Find out what God's word says and do it. And then he will show himself strong on your behalf. And so David says, the rest of faith, he leads me in the path of righteousness. He restores my soul. Turn back to Psalm 23. Look at this verse. He restored my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for what? For his name's sake. He guides in the path of righteousness. You know why? It's for his name's sake. He wants to prove to you and I that I'm a good shepherd. He leads, he protects, he provides, he guides, he restores for his name's sake. He wants to show you and I am omnipotent. I am omnipresent. I am good. I am faithful. I am true. I promise I'll never leave you. leave you or forsake you. I told you to cast all your cares upon me, and I care for you. I said, trust in me with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, all your ways acknowledge me, and I'll direct your path. He's doing it for his name's sake. He wants you to know, that his name is at stake. It's not your name. It's for his name's sake that we can say, great is thy what? Faithfulness. Oh God, my Father, morning by morning, new mercy I see. Oh, how he loved you and me. And when you the saints get together, we can give testimony to how God, hitherto the Lord, have led me. Why? Because he's going to prove to you that he's faithful and true to you. And so when I sing a hymn, one day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. I knew it was the blood for me. Why? Because you realize that Jesus died for my mom, my dad, and my friends, but Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. It's his name's sake that he become my shepherd. He become my savior. It's his name's sake. His name had become real to me. He does those things for us individually for his name's sake. That it doesn't become the Lord our shepherd. It become the Lord my shepherd. Personal. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. It becomes very intimate. There is no more intimate relationship in the world than a relationship with Jesus Christ. You will not find love as deep, as stable and as secure in this world as you will find in Jesus Christ. There's none. You can search the world. You will never find love like him, his. And that love will satisfy your heart. And I want to give you a promise that you can go to the bank with. Turn with me to Psalms 84. Psalms 84. A verse I would encourage you to memorize. Psalms 84, verse 11. A verse I would encourage you to memorize. The scripture says, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Think through that verse. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now, what does it mean to walk uprightly? It's to walk by faith. An upright walk is not what you do. It's a heart. And trusting in who you know. An upright walk is a walk of faith. That I've come and I've set the Lord before me today. I cast all my cares upon him. If I like wisdom, if any of you like wisdom, let him ask of God, Lord, give me wisdom in this circumstance. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And walking uprightly is a walk of faith. The just shall live by what? By faith. And what is faith? Personal trust in a person. God is faithful. I can trust him. I can trust him with my circumstance. I can trust him with my problem. I can trust him with my intimate being. My fears, I can bring them to him. Why? Because no one loved me like him. No good thing. And so remember that. It doesn't matter. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Any good thing that's good for you and you trusting him, he's able to make all things. You want to know what all mean in the Greek? Let me tell you what all. All mean all, and that's all mean in the Greek and the Hebrew and the English. All. And so you and I can rest in the fact that all things, he's able to make all things work together for good, for them that love God and they that call according to his purpose. What a privilege that you and I have the privilege. After the crisis of faith, we have a revelation of faith and we come to a crisis in our lives that we say in ourselves, I am not going to trust me, myself, and I anymore, and I'm not going to trust others. I'm going to trust God. And in trusting God, he'll teach me how to trust those others whom he would have me to trust. If you and I, well, just you, my parents are gone, but if you don't trust your parents, it's proved that you don't trust God. Why? Because God said children obey your parents. Why? Because this is right. It's just the right thing to do. And so I'm going to do it. Why? Because God. Honor those in authority. If there's somebody's authority, if I don't trust authority, why? Because God said obey those in authority. And so we're always doing what God says in particular circumstance. Why? Because when he says do something, he will protect, provide, and prove to us that my promises to you will be fulfilled as I've said it. It's been sealed by blood. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Young men and women, the God of glory, the shepherd of David, the Lord who is a good shepherd, Jesus Christ, want you and I to know that every promise in this book is yours. If you're willing to seal, sign off, Lord Jesus, not my will anymore, but thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, and in me as you would have it according to this book. Lord, let your will be done in me, and let your will be done through me. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. What does it mean to walk uprightly? It's to say, Lord, you lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. You do that, and your life will be a journey that will be a blessing to you, a blessing to others, and it'll bring much glory to God. Why? Because the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly before him. Let's close in prayer. Father, we do give thanks for your marvelous promises. That you've loved us with everlasting love. You've blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And you've given us everything that pertains to life and godliness and the knowledge of him. And so I pray for these young men and women bowed in your presence, that you would work in them both the will and the do of your good pleasure, that you would seal your truth to their hearts, that they might be what you've made them, salt and light, testimonies, trophies of your grace in the particular circumstance that you will have them in when they leave this place. That the Lamb, who is worthy, might receive praise and honor and glory from their lives. Thank you for our time together in your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.